Before Ulysses S. Grant became the general who accepted Robert E. Lee's surrender at Appomattox, before he became the 18th President of the United States, before statues, biographies, monuments, scandals, myths, and arguments gathered around his name, he was a quiet boy from Ohio who did not look like history's chosen instrument. Nothing about his earliest years announced greatness in the dramatic way people often expect from the childhoods of famous men. He was not a thunderous speaker, not a natural showman, not a child who seemed eager to dominate every room he entered. He did not possess the dazzling self-confidence of a born politician or the romantic swagger of a young military hero. He was reserved, practical, uncomfortable with boasting, and often more at ease with animals than with crowds. That quietness is one of the most important keys to understanding him. Grant's life is sometimes told as though it began in earnest only when the Civil War gave him a battlefield and a purpose. Yet the boy formed in rural Ohio did not disappear when the man rose to command armies. The patience, stubborn endurance, emotional restraint, physical courage, dislike of cruelty, and awkward social modesty that marked his youth remained with him throughout his life. They shaped his military leadership, his friendships, his errors, his presidency, and even the way he faced death. Grant's childhood did not produce a polished hero. It produced something less theatrical and perhaps more durable, a man who could keep moving when others hesitated, complained, panicked, or collapsed under pressure. He was born Hiram Ulysses Grant on April 27, 1822, in Point Pleasant, Ohio, a small settlement along the Ohio River. His parents, Jesse Root Grant and Hannah Simpson Grant, were not wealthy aristocrats, nor were they poor in a hopeless sense. They belonged to that broad, energetic world of early 19th century Americans thriving, families who believed in work, land, trade, mobility, self-improvement, and the possibility that a person might rise by discipline and effort. The United States in which Grant was born was still young, restless, expanding, and unresolved. It was a country full of ambition and contradiction, proud of liberty while tolerating slavery, celebrating democracy while often limiting its benefits, pushing westward while displacing native peoples, and teaching its children that the future was open even when that future was violently contested. Ohio itself mattered deeply to Grant's formation. It was not just a setting, it was part of the atmosphere that shaped him. Ohio in the 1820s and 1830s stood between older Eastern traditions and the expanding frontier. It was a place of farms, rivers, small towns, workshops, muddy roads, and self-made families. It was also a free state, positioned near the slaveholding South but legally outside it. The Ohio River was not merely a waterway. In many minds, it was a boundary between two systems, two moral worlds, and two visions of American life. Grant was too young to understand all of that in his earliest years, but geography has a way of educating people before they can explain what they have learned. He grew up in a region where debates over slavery, labor, freedom, and opportunity were not abstract issues floating far away. They were part of the country's daily tension. His father, Jesse Grant, was a tanner by trade, a businessman by instinct, and a man of strong opinions. Jesse had energy, ambition, and a willingness to argue. He was politically engaged, morally serious in his opposition to slavery, and proud of his ability to build a life through labor. He was also, by many accounts, difficult. He liked to talk, persuade, insist, and sometimes exaggerate. He admired success and wanted his children to rise. His personality was far more outward than his son's. Where Jesse pushed himself into conversation, Ulysses often withdrew. Where Jesse enjoyed debate, Ulysses preferred action or silence.